Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 18th, 2021. Today is Thursday in the fourth week of Lent. Dinner is done. The feet have been washed. And now the drama of Holy Week shifts into high gear. There's an exchange around the table, and we're really not clear in the text who hears what, but the bottom line is Judas departs the scene. And those of us who know the story, we know where Judas is headed. Meanwhile, Jesus says to those who remain with him, "I'm about to leave, and you can't come where I'm going. But I'm leaving you a new commandment, a new mandate. And the commandment is this: love one another. As I have loved you," Jesus says to his disciples, "so you should love one another. And this is the sign. This is the way everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." There's a scene in the old cult classic movie, The Princess Bride, where one of the characters keeps using the word inconceivable. And the interesting thing is, he's using the word inconceivable when what he believes to be inconceivable is happening right in front of him. And so another character says, "You keep using that word. I'm not sure it means what you think it means." I thought a little bit about that scene and the word inconceivable as I read the passage from today's section in John, which talks about love. We use that word a lot in our culture, in our relationships, and especially around church. We even have a saying in the Episcopal Church made popular by our presiding bishop of late that says, "If it's not about love, it's not about God." I don't disagree with that, but I fear that we have, in our own way, turned love, the love that Jesus talks about here in John 13, we've turned it into some sort of warm and fuzzy, squishy, feel-good thing. I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about. When he says, "As I've loved you, so you need to love one another," well, how has he loved them? He's already said that part of his mission is to be lifted up, to lay down his life, and that in giving this life for not just the disciples, but for the whole world, the world will come to know God's love. So love isn't so much about a feeling or an affection. Love is about a series of behaviors and actions. Love, as Jesus uses the word, has very little to do with how we feel at any given moment. The fellowship of disciples, that includes those of us who are part of the church, we are enjoined by Jesus' command to love one another. And at the very least, that means behaving in a loving fashion to each other, even when such behavior is difficult. Someone once said, "Ain't no fight like a church fight." I think that's because Christians have been notorious at forgetting that we are not called to win an argument. We are not called to be victorious. We are not called to get our own way. We are called to love one another. Writing some years after Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, the Apostle Paul, sending a letter to the church at Corinth, gives us a hint about how this love looks in community. Here are just a few lines from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Most of us are familiar with that passage from weddings. And while it certainly fits for couples who are beginning their life together, it's not primarily about one person and another person as a couple and their relationship. It is primarily about how we order our lives as the people of God. What would it be like if we could just manage to not want our way all the time? Or if we could remember in the heat of an aggravation moment to be kind? Or if we could reduce our rudeness or cut back on our boastfulness? These are not easy things to do, especially when we so often forget that we are called to live differently as Christians. It can be particularly difficult if we don't practice in our life outside of church. If we live in a world where it's winner take all, dog eat dog, get your own way as best you can, how do we expect that we're going to change that behavior on a dime just because we're in a church meeting? And yet, the commandment that Jesus gave his disciples is just as real today as the night he spoke it. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. I wonder, are we loving one another as fellow Christians to the extent that people could see it and say, that's a different sort of organization? That's a different sort of behavior? That's a different sort of relationship, and I actually want to be a part of it? We do live in a world of division and pride and rudeness and arrogance and violence. We live in a world where people are intent on getting theirs and to hell with everyone else. But that's not how we're called to be. We're called to be living examples of the one who gave himself up for us all. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Dear Lord, help us to make it so. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, drive from us all weakness of body, mind, and spirit, that being restored to wholeness, we may with free hearts become what you intend us to be and accomplish what you intend us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.